The reasoning mind. So this is the wholly unprecedented stellar nature of where we stand. We are in it. We are in this experiment. In fact, we are it. Recognizing this, what are the pitfalls, the sand traps, the quicksand, the gauntlet around which we must navigate ourselves in order to fully embrace and play triumphantly with this new opportunity? Amazingly, the pitfalls are all inside ourselves. How is this possible? What does this mean? As thought leads to action, the implementation of ideas in the world, collectively we have created countless ideologies, organizations, and institutions that are outer manifestations of our inner sand traps. The most expedient way to dismantle these worldly landmines and make our way along the new trajectory, which is our course correction realignment with God's will and thus God's guidance, is to dismantle them inside our minds. As with the dissolution of the hull of a ship, the barnacles that were so tenaciously attached to it have nothing left to hold on to. So too, as we dissolve the landmines inside our minds, I often refer to this as a cleansing spa for the brain, as it is so deliciously, extraordinarily refreshing. The outer structures we have created, based on these limited inner mind blueprints, can no longer exist. They dissolve like a sandcastle dispersing as the tide washes in. In their place, fresh as a new day, we will create relevant outer mirrors reflecting our newly attuned inside minds. As we change the context of our thoughts, we change the creation of our world. Possibly the most deathly of these sand traps is ego's ability to reason. Ego is primarily a function of the mind, and so everything to do with how we think, how we use the mind, has to do with ego. What has been considered one of the human mind's greatest triumphs may, in fact, be the cause of its pending demise. Ego is gifted with the ability to justify, reason, and explain. We often think of these as our crowning glory, our mental prowess, over non-thinking species. Yet, what happens when we blatantly or blindly use these faculties to convince ourselves that something is right, even when it is terribly wrong? Justification, reasoning, and explaining can all be utilized to lead us astray. Agents of free will, they have the power to delude us, to coerce us, to magnetize us to believe the rightness of something that isn't so. We have been conditioned through centuries of subliminal modeling of those around us to use justification, reasoning, and explanation both to convince ourselves and to convince others. This is so ingrained in how we operate that we barely see it. It is slippery, swift, and challenging to detect. As we tap into intuition and learn how to recognize upward and downward spirals, we develop the ability to be honest, truthful, and thus always in integrity. Until we dust off, polish, and begin to consistently utilize our truth detectors, we each are prone to white lies. Justifying, reasoning, and explaining to paint a picture other than what is real could spell our extinction. Collectively, we use these three interlinking capacities rampantly in our child-rearing, governing, educating, intimate relating, business promoting, financing, and everywhere you can imagine. One of my favorite illustrations of this is comedian Flip Wilson's famous line, "The devil made me buy this dress." In what ways do you fall into the somnambulistic trap of justifying your behavior, reasoning your choices, and or explaining to distract attention from truth to a shady half-truth? Can you see how dangerous these three faculties can be? How might you become more honest, congruent, and quiet, letting what is true speak for itself? If something needs to be justified, reasoned, or explained, perhaps this is a signal that something not quite right is in play. Constructive criticism aside, what is the solution? It is really quite simple. Catapult ourselves over reason and understanding into love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. This is God's vantage, the wordless realm of looking down from up. Downside up, upside down, take my weight off the ground, falling deep in the sky, slipping into the unknown. These are Peter Gabriel's exquisite lyrics in the song Downside Up from his album OVO. The unknown is that which is not yet known to ego, yet is always known to soul. This is precisely what we'll explore and experience together as we climb the 18-level ladder of consciousness in Chapter 3, Tools for Emptying Out the Past. Thinking and thinking. Just like art, which one can learn as a craft, and art, which one is inherently gifted with at birth, There are two distinctly different functions of the mind, both of which we ascribe to thinking. This presents a challenge in language. Our communication can stumble and falter when we use the same word to express more than one meaning. As an example, I've heard that the Inuit have 22 words, some say even more, to describe the subtle distinctions of snow. We have snow and slush and, well, that's about it in our English language, to express what is a vastly varied continuum of subtle states of frozen water, an element that directly affects the survival of these Arctic people. Let's stretch the word thinking, like taffy, out over a similarly wide continuum. Pull out your magnifying glass, as this is particularly intriguing. When we think, what we're typically doing is casting our attention back and accessing our previous experiences, what is already familiar to us in our data bank of memories. This may include references to our own past, what we've heard via others, including what is transmitted through multi-generations of vocal, visual, and gestural information, and what we've read. In other words, we're tapping into our own personal accounts and or accounts from others of what has been or what is speculated to be. You may be puzzled at why I'm attracting attention to this, as it seems perfectly normal. This function of thinking exists inside a closed box. No matter how vast the library of data is that we access via past evidence, it is still a small closed box. Stretching the continuum wider, thinking in the ways of pondering, daydreaming, contemplating, inquiring deeply, intuiting, receiving insight, inventing, innovating, inspiring, these are all capabilities of the mind in unison with the spirit. Each of these functions are essentially activities that draw in from beyond the closed system new energy, new life. This is why they are so often described as breakthroughs, ahas, supernovas, as a light switching on, discovering scintillating new frontiers. Consider this simple visual presentation. Thinking, limited data, regurgitation, nothing actually new at its core, and thinking, infinite substance. Intuition, innovation, inspiration, invention, fresh vectors of exploration, new frontiers, breakthroughs, supernovas, that is inviting and allowing new energy into your or our collective system. With this key distinction between thinking and thinking now in place, consider this. Each and every time you or I within these pages use the word thinking, pause, and become like an Inuit. Stretch like taffy the continuum of variations of this word until you alight on the precise expression that accurately describes what you are doing. That is, how you are actually engaging your mind. Here's a clue. If when you think, your attention goes up into your head, notice the movement of your eyes, this is a signal that you are engaging your brain in a limited capacity, accessing a now idea based on old archive information, possibly including justifications and hypothetical extrapolations. This is so because if, when you think, your attention goes out into the cosmos beyond you or into your body, particularly the region of your belly, notice the movement of your eyes, this is a signal that you're tapping into and accessing a more luminous state of consciousness, information and energy arising from sources beyond your current known experience. I may not be familiar with this, and yet it seems so. Thinking is an expression of ego's sureness based on past. Thinking is an expression of ego's wonder at what it has not comprehended or directly accessed before. In the first example, you are maintaining the size of the limited box. In the second example, you are actively stretching it, opening it like a flower blossoming in the dew of a new day. With this self-awareness of the distinctions between thinking and thinking now within our skillful access, let's continue with keen attention.